The show now arriving on this service is the special excursion to Parsley Siding.
Welcome to Parsley Sidings with Kenneth Connor, Liz Fraser, Ian Lavender, Charlotte Mitchell, and, as the station master, Arthur Lowe. Running a country railway station is a constant round of practical problems. But at Parsley Sidings, they're also aware of man's spiritual needs. Indeed, for Horace Hepplewhite, today could well be one of those heavenly days.
Miss Simpkins, the vicar is calling to see me. I imagine he's calling to solicit my help with the village concert.
He's left it rather late. It's Saturday week.
I shan't need much rehearsal. No doubt he'll want my usual recitation. There's a little yellow headlamp on the 8:15 to crew.
All 98 verses, Mr. Hepplewhite.
Of course. I wonder who else the vicar is having in this year's concert.
Oh, well, actually, he's asked me to appear.
You, Miss Simpkins?
I play the mouth organ.
I never knew you had a musical bent.
Oh, yes. I started off playing the piano accordion, but as I grew bigger, I had to give it up.
So there will be two from our station in this year's concert.
Four, Mr. Hepplewhite. Bert will be conjuring and Percy Valentine telling jokes.
Do you mean you three have already been approached by the vicar?
Yes, Mr. Hepplewhite, last week.
Curious. I wonder why he left me to last. And imagine letting Valentine tell jokes. One can only hope that the battery has run down in Miss Fisher's hearing aid. Where is Valentine, by the way?
He and Bert are installing that new Speak Your Weight machine. Do you think that Percy's jokes might be a bit... well...
I'm quite sure they will. Mm. I trust he doesn't offer us that one about the Scotsman and the two old maids. Mm. Really, I think the vicar is most ill-advised.
Steady with your aim, Bert, will
I? This machine's blooming heavy.
Anyway, this Scotsman says to the second old maid, he says, it comes in handy at the Island Games. Hey, do you think the vicar will let you tell that, Percy? Oh, of course he will. He's a man of the world. You know, I've seen him with the Playgirl magazine inside his church weekly.
Yeah.
Right, this is where the machine goes.
Right,
to you.
To me.
To you.
Hey, I can't hold it any longer. Help.
Hey, don't drop it.
What else can I do with it?
To me. To you.
To you.
To you.
No.
Your weight is 8 stone, 11.
I don't last, did I, these modern jobs? I suppose we'd better get the old weigh machine back from Harry the Totter.
Yeah.
He'll be round next week.
Hey, but won't Dad notice the new machine doesn't work?
As all the parts have fallen out, I reckon it might catch his eye. Tidy up the mess and take the back off.
Right.
And if you see anyone going to use it, nip in the back and, well, say how much you think they weigh.
I hope Dad doesn't notice. He'll be in a bad mood as it is when he hears the vicar's dropped him from the concert. It's the one thing he really looks forward to every year.
Yeah. Yeah, reminds me of that one about the old age pensioner and the chorus girl.
He'll be very upset when he can't do it.
Oh, you've heard it. You know, it seems the vicar's coming round this morning.
What, to tell Dad he's dropped?
Yeah, well, I expect he'll slip that in somewhere, yeah. But he's really come around to ask if he can use our waiting room for rehearsals, you know.
Well, what about the church hall?
And you heard? The roof fell off in the night.
What?
Yeah.
So the vicar wants to rehearse here, and Dad's out of the show? He won't have to be fed up.
Ah, good morning, vicar. Come in.
It's about the concert, Mr. Hepplewhite.
Ah, I wondered when you'd get around to me. Well, I know what you wish to ask me, vicar.
You do?
And, of course, I am ready to do my bit.
Oh, Mr. Hepplewhite, this is overwhelming.
How could I refuse? It is the only chance for the public to enjoy it.
Hmm? Surely it is available to your passengers every day.
No, no, vicar. I have never done it on the station.
I beg your pardon.
But now you mention it, it could be a good idea. It would certainly attract interest. I could do it over the tannoy.
Do what, Mr. Hepplewhite?
My recitation. The one you wish me to do at your concert.
Oh, yes. Mr. Hepplewhite, all the turns for the concert are already arranged. I had hoped that you might have deduced from my not approaching you that we planned to, release you this year.
Release me? I'm not a convict, Vicar.
No. I meant that you have given your services so freely for so many years, and we felt it was time to give you a rest.
You mean you don't want my resignation?
Oh, I wouldn't put it like that, Mr. Heppelwhite. We feel that you should not be seen too often.
Vicar, the public expect it. The concert won't be the same.
That is another advantage, yes. I mean another novelty, you know? And that's what we have to hit them with, man. Ding-a-ding-ding and ring-a-dong-dong and all that, you know. I'm filling your second half spot with Charlie, the clog-dancing porter from Potmistle Halt.
But this is monstrous.
Yes.
And if you don't wish me to appear in your concert, why have you called this morning?
Your waiting room, Mr. Heppelwhite.
My waiting room?
Last night's high wind blew off the church hall roof. And it hath fallen on stony ground. Until it is repaired next week, we have nowhere to rehearse, nor if we could use your waiting room.
Out of the question, I'm afraid.
You let us use it before, remember? When the hall was put out of action by the Darby and Joan Club Pop Festival.
That was different. I was reciting my poem on that occasion.
Oh, I see. Yes. Perhaps, Mr. Heppelwhite, you could give us a shorter version of your poem, say, 30 verses?
Impossible. Why can't you rehearse the concert in the vicarage?
I already have the Young Wives Club there for flower arranging and karate.
You're in a difficult situation, Vicar.
40 verses?
76.
48?
70.
56?
66.
60 verses.
With piano introduction?
Done.
Thank you, Vicar. I shall be delighted to appear.
That is very, very good of you, Mr. Heppelwhite.
Not at all. And please feel free to use the station waiting room for your rehearsals.
Most kind.
We must all pull together. Will Miss Tweedy be playing the piano as usual?
Ah, Miss Tweedy will not be with us this year. She had an unfortunate accident whilst playing Scarletti.
A most dangerous game. Who will play my introduction then?
My cousin, Miss Pennyfeather. She is a pianist with the Sunshine Follies concert party. Oh. And it is our good fortune that she is staying with me for the week of the concert.
Excellent, Vicar. And now, if you'll excuse me, it's 11:15. The 10:25 is due at any moment. I must go and see the station is ready. Should a passenger accidentally get off here?
Where are you off to, Bert?
Oh, to the waiting room, to rehearse.
I'll come with you. How many tricks are you doing?
Well, only one. I turn a handkerchief into a dove and it flies over the audience.
Oh, how do you do it?
Ah, I'm not allowed to say. It's a secret known only to the members of the Magic Circle.
How do you know it?
It was on the back of a cornflakes packet.
Oh, have you got a dove?
No, I'm using the station hen.
Doesn't Clara mind being in your jacket?
Well, ask her. Clara, do you mind being in my jacket? No, she likes it. Of course, it's a bit embarrassing when you're in company and an egg falls out.
I think your father's rehearsing his poem.
Well, you won't mind us. Come on, let's go in.
Oh, Alfred, do not drive tonight, my darling wife did beg. And there's some that say that she's got second sight. Then he fixed his yellow headlamp on the junction far ahead, and he peered from out his cab into the night. That little yellow headlamp's been a damn good pal to me. She's been both brother, son, and trusty friend. Come, put more coal on, Jack. We've a strong wind at our back, and I think we'll nigh touch 20 round the bend. I beg your pardon, Heppelwhite?
Yes, Mr. Heppelwhite?
Was that your jacket making that noise?
My jacket, Mr. Heppelwhite.
Good Lord. He's laid an egg. Is it all right, Heppelwhite?
Excuse me.
Extraordinary behavior. You must excuse my son, Miss Pennyfeather.
Oh, not at all. He seemed a charming boy.
I think I'll go and see if Bert's all right.
Where were we?
The driver was touching something round the bend.
Was he? Oh, yes. 20.
What depths of poetry you have in your soul. The way you read that poem, it set my whole body on fire.
Well, the weather has been rather warm lately.
As one performer to another, I can sense the flame that burns in you. Such poetry.
Written by my grandfather, Jeremiah Heppelwhite, you know.
Oh, magnificent. I'm so looking forward to playing your introduction.
Yes. Pity we haven't a piano here in the waiting room.
My cousin has a piano at the vicarage. We could do it there.
Could we? Oh, yes. I'm most grateful, Veronica.
Think nothing of it, Horace.
Shall I continue reciting?
Please.
So they shoveled on more coal, and a bell began to toll from the ruined church on top of Gallows Hill.
Did you see her? Cool. Miss Pennyfeather. Cool. I know what she's after. And... whoa. Oh, that will wait. I better watch his...
What do you mean, Percy?
Well, what I could tell by the way she was looking at him when I went in. Marriage, I thought. She's after his nuptials.
What would Miss Pennyfeather want with that nuptials?
Percy means she wants to marry him.
Really?
Well, don't look so pleased. Can you imagine her as your stepmother? She'd have you out of the house before you could say all change.
No.
What? You'd be slipping in a dog kennel, mate. No more bedtime cocoa for you.
Well, I think she's quite nice.
Yeah. She'd soon be running this station. We'd have no freedom.
Ah, now I get it.
Yeah.
You don't want her here because she'd put a stop to your fiddling.
She's only after old Applewhite for what she can get out of him.
Well, I think it's lovely. It's just like that serial in Woman's World. They may well be soulmates whom destiny has brought together.
Well, I reckon she's up to no good.
She's been quite nice to me.
Well, look, that's because she's trying to get to him through you.
No. She asked me what Dad had liked best in my mother.
What did you say?
I said that Mum used to break his boots in for him.
God, dear. Great love stories of our time.
Well, I think they'll make a very good match.
Yeah, not if I can help it. Now, you mark my words. We've got to nip this in the bud.
Mr. Heppelwhite has asked me to show her round the station tomorrow.
Oh.
Yeah, what rotten little schemes are you thinking up?
Oh, nothing. I'm off to rehearse my two old ladies and the Scotsman. Shut up.
You wanted to see me, Mr. Heppelwhite?
Oh, yes, Heppelwhite. Come in and close the door.
Right.
Heppelwhite. Bertrand. Son. I feel that it's time you and I had a talk.
Huh?
About us and... well...
Yes, Mr. Heppelwhite?
Father, my boy. You may call me Father.
Yes, Mr. Heppelwhite. Father.
Heppelwhite. Bertrand. How would you feel if I... you know?
No?
No, of course not. If I... well, people would talk, of course.
True.
But what if they do?
Yes.
I want you to know that if I do it, I'm doing it for you. Well, not entirely for you. Partly for me. But for you, through me, and for you as you, as well.
Thank you.
You see, Bertrand, there comes a time for every man when he realizes that there is something in life he isn't getting.
Huh?
I'm talking to you like this because, well, because it affects you as well as me.
Aren't I getting it either?
I don't. You do know what I'm talking about, Bertrand.
Oh, yes?
Good. Companionship, buttons sewn on, that sort of thing. And just because there's snow on the funnel, it doesn't mean that the old boiler doesn't get hot. Around the collar. In brief, Bertrand, it might happen that I would... I'd certainly like to. That is, if you don't mind.
Mind what?
Mind it.
No, I don't mind it.
Good. Bertrand, my boy, thank you for those kind words. I wish we could always talk as freely as this.
It's most kind of you to show me round, Miss Simpkins.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
Yeah, what's this tumble-down old house?
This is Mr. Bradshaw's signal box.
Oh.
And this is our signalman, Mr. Bradshaw.
Oh, Miss Gloria! Hello! There's two of you.
This is Miss Pennyfeather.
Pleased to meet you, Miss Millyfeather.
How do you do? Yes. Actually, it's
Penny feather, Penny.
You'll be all right. There's one round the back of the signal.
Miss Penny Feather's playing the piano at the concert.
Staying where?
Playing the piano.
Oh, staying in the piano, right? Well, well, well. Many other people living there. Miss Shum.
Penny Feather.
Did I? Sorry, it must be the onions.
Mr. Bradshaw seems to be rather deaf, Miss Simpkins.
Well, yes, it's his ears, you know. Tell Miss Penny Feather about your point.
Pardon?
Your point.
Oh, the button keeps coming undone.
I'm sure Miss Penny Feather would like to see you pull a few levers.
Lives in a piano, right? Well, yeah, I tell you what.
What?
Perhaps you'd like to see me pull a few levers.
Oh,
yeah. First, I take hold of a lever with one hand only.
And what about the other?
I don't get so much of it these days. Now then, I'm all set to go.
Oh, how fascinating.
Here, now, let's pretend there's a train coming along, right?
Oh, there is a train coming, Mr. Now, Bradshaw.
Just for a joke. We'll pretend we're sending our imaginary train into the washout.
Oh, no, Mr. Bradshaw.
There we are. What have you got?
A big hole in the back of our wash house.
A points change. That's what you've got.
Well, Mr. Bradshaw, we must be off.
Why? Where are you going?
I'm showing Miss Pennyfeather the station.
Oh, you just rub it with wintergreen. You'll be all right.
Goodbye, Mr. Bradshaw.
Goodbye, Miss Pennyfeather. Well. Living in a piano, eh? You must be highly strung.
I roll up my sleeve. See, nothing up my sleeve. Just these new laid eggs. I wave my wand. And in a moment, a bird will appear. Hey, presto!
Hello, Bert.
Oh. Hello, Gloria.
Good morning, Bertrand.
Oh. Hello, Miss Pennyfeather.
Miss Simpkins is showing me round your little station.
Ah, well, this is the booking office.
Oh, how interesting. And you take care of all the tickets, do you?
That's right.
What a responsibility.
Mind you, I don't have to write the date in with my ballpoint anymore. We're fully automated these days, you know.
Are we?
Yes. I borrowed this date stamp from the travelling library.
You have quite a pleasant view from your window.
We must try and impress Miss Pennyfeather, Bert. I'm sure she'd be just right for your father.
Percy doesn't think so. I've got a nasty feeling he's up to something.
I'm sure this is a happy station. Your father seems such a good organizer.
Bert!
What?
Bert, your dad's had another of his turns. He started eating the coal again.
What? Eating coal?
Miss Pennyfeather, I did not realize you were here. Or I should not have revealed Mr. Heppelwhite's peculiar affliction.
Well, does he have these turns often?
No. Mainly when it's full moon.
Oh, poor Horace. I must go to him.
No, please. If he knows that his secret has slipped from my lips, he'd never forgive me. Faithful old employee that I am.
Oh, that poor, brave man. Come along, Miss Simpkins. Let us continue our walk round the station. We may see Horace on the way.
Right. I'll show you our new Speak Your Weight machine.
Good. No. No, you mustn't.
Why ever not?
It's broken. It's a very fragile machine.
Don't be silly, Bert. It's brand new. This way, Miss Pennyfeather.
What do we do now?
Hewn it through the window and into that machine, or we're in dead trouble.
Here we are. The Speak Your Weight machine. Isn't it lovely?
It's fascinating.
Why don't you try it? Mr. Heppelwhite would be ever so pleased if he knows you've had a go on his machine.
Oh, all right, then. I'll just drop in my penny.
Your weight is 15 stone 10.
I beg your pardon?
10 stone 15?
Oh, dear.
This machine has gone mad.
I'm doing my best.
Or am I going mad?
Here, Miss Pennyfeather, let me help you off it.
But I could have sworn that...
It spoke to me.
Well, there's a lot of it about lately. Let's move on and I'll show you my tannoy.
But I don't understand.
Try not to think about it.
Goodbye.
Oh. Here we are. This is my tannoy booth where I do my announcing and... Percy! Why are you scrubbing the platform with a toothbrush?
Oh, Mr. Apple, watch instructions, Gloria. You know how domineering and tyrannical he is. Oh, I didn't see you standing there, Miss Pennyfeather.
You mean that Horace makes you scrub the platform with a toothbrush?
Oh, not all the time, Miss Pennyfeather. Only once a day, before I polish the railway lines.
Polish the railway lines? But what happens if a train comes along?
Mr. Applewhite's given me full permission to lie down between the lines. To avoid being hit. He's very good that way.
Percy, stop all this nonsense.
Oh, sorry, please. Oh, you touched one of my bruises where Mr. Applewhite beats me.
He beats you?
Oh, I'm lucky, though. He doesn't beat me as hard as he did the late Mrs. Applewhite.
Oh, I hadn't realized Horace was such a strong-willed person. Oh, how I adore dominant men.
No, it's a drink, you see, and a gambling, and all the other vices.
Oh, but I can help him fight them.
He's passed out.
Quiet!
Hey?
If Horace says you're to scrub the platform, then scrub you will.
You've
missed a bit.
Where?
Over there.
Oh, right.
Hurry up, or you won't have time to polish the railway line.
Yes, madam. Oh, what a gorgon.
Thank you for the tour, Miss Simpkins. I shall have to leave you now. I'm needed at rehearsal.
How's the show shaping up?
Oh, extremely well.
Oh, good.
Horace's solo will be the high spot. But, of course, I also have great hopes of your contribution.
Oh, thank you.
And young Bertrand's. It will be a great occasion, Miss Simpkins.
Bert, you were terrific.
It wasn't quite what I intended. Claire wouldn't stay in my coat.
Well, I did think it was rather novel having her appear down your trouser leg.
Didn't half tickle, though.
Well, that's all right. It's all right for you two. At least you did your acts. The vicar banned all my jokes. I got on stage, said hello, folks, and had to come straight off again. Suppression of liberty, that's what it is.
Not so loud, Percy. This dressing room's got very thin walls. They'll hear you on stage.
Serve them right!
Oh!
Who's on now, anyway?
Daddy's.
Oh, blimey, the ultimate deterrent. How long's he been at it?
A quarter of an hour. You'd better go and hear him for the last 5 minutes. Someone's got to be on his side.
They were racing round the bend, coming into Parson's End, when the engine driver gave a cry of dread. For in the headlamp's beam so narrow was a sight that chilled his marrow, a little child upon the line ahead. Oh, save that little child, came the sound of voices wild, and the driver grabbed the brake with trembling hand. But as he tried to pull it on, he found the brake was gone, for the lightning flash had cut the rubber band. Do not worry, little fellow, cried that driver with a bellow, as fear struck through his frame in every joint. Then he flashed his little headlamp once, twice, thrice, and then again. And in the signal box, his brother changed the point. So the 8:15 to crew went instead to Waterloo. And the curly-headed child could breathe again. That's why, in honor of that night, you will always find a light. A little yellow headlamp on each train. I thank you. Thank you.
Come in.
Veronica, I came to say you played the piano divinely tonight.
I did it for you, Horace. Tonight you showed those people what poetry is.
Oh, I feel that in some small way I have enriched their lives. Veronica.
Yes.
This isn't easy for me to... I've been wondering if... That's to say...
Yes, Horace, yes.
Would you consider... Could you... Would you join me in lawful wedlock?
Yes, Horace, yes. I've been waiting for you to ask.
You have? Oh, splendid.
Yes, what a team we'll make. You can leave your tin pot railway station and join me in the Sunshine Follies.
I beg your pardon?
The railways aren't for you, Horace. Join us
Be our business manager. With your business brain, we could go far. You can put up the scenery, sell tickets.
Miss Pennifeather.
In 1 week, we go on tour. And you'll see places that up to now have been just names to you. Lowestoft, New Brighton, Grimsby West.
Madam, do you realize that you're addressing a Heffelwhite?
Oh, you're too big for this dreary backwater. What was that, Horace?
There has been a Heffelwhite at Parsley Siding since the railways were invented.
Then you won't join the Sunshine Follies?
Certainly not.
Then I'm afraid I can't marry you. You are as small and insignificant as your funny little station.
Madam, kindly leave my station alone. We are very much attached to one another. Small we may be, but there is none larger in spirit the whole length and breadth of British Rail.
I am lucky that I found out in time. Goodbye, Mr. Heffelwhite. And I hope your coal gives you indigestion.
Coal? Indigestion? The woman's raving.
We all thought you were marvellous, Mr. Heffelwhite.
Yeah. Thank you, Miss Simpkins.
Cool, that little yellow lead lamp, eh? Cool, it still gets him right here.
Or is it here?
Someone said you ought to take up the stage as a career. You've got just the right altitude for it.
The word is aptitude, Heffelwhite. But I think not. The glittering world of show business is all right as a sideline. But true contentment lies somewhere else.
Where's that, Mr. Heffelwhite?
Where else, Miss Simpkins? But good old Parsley Siding.
Oh, it's dead right there.